Hello, all my theater-loving lovelies. It's me again, your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, and this is another episode of that Broadway tell-all deep dive that we like to call the Broadway Cast. Now, to get things going today, I'd like you all to raise your hand into a salute and repeat after me. Oh, Captain, my Captain. A little louder now. Oh, Captain, my Captain. There, much better. At ease, theater soldiers. Now that we've established the appropriate respect, it's time to talk all about Broadway dance captains. Yes, just like it sounds, they are in charge. Every show on Broadway has a dance captain or two. These aptly named cast members are exactly as it sounds. In charge. They are charged with maintaining the integrity of the choreographer's work for the run of the show. Once that choreographer says, peace out, on to the next, the dance captain is in charge of running brush-up rehearsals, understudy rehearsals, putting new cast members in the show, staging alternative show plots when needed. I mean, I'm exhausted just talking and thinking about it. Dance captains work closely not only with choreographers, but also with the stage management team to keep the show tip-top for weeks, months, or hopefully even years. Their jobs are hard. Period. Really hard, and I should know. I made my Broadway debut in Footloose in 1998. I was a swing in the show and left pretty early to go out on the national tour as a dance captain. I remember I got to teach a whole new batch of actors the movement and working with a choreographer to hone the show around their specific skills. Not gonna lie, I liked the power of it all. Frankly, I'm a little obsessed with dance captains, so much so that I created a web series that focuses on them. So go ahead, Google up Dance Captain Dance Attack. You'll be glad you did. You can learn original choreography along with me and the dance captains from all your favorite shows. Now, as we've talked about throughout the season, dance captains and swings have saved show after show in the past couple of years. And today we're getting all the tea on the big DC life. I'm really excited to welcome my friends Beetlejuice Dance Captain Brooke Engen, Hamilton Dance Captain Gabriella Sorrentino, and Music Man Dance Captain, yes, she knows Hugh Jackman, Maria Briggs. These ladies are incredible, and I can't wait for you to hear them let loose. Now, before we begin, want to remind you to subscribe to the show, rate us, review us, follow us on social media, at The Broadway Cast. You can follow me at Ben Does Broadway. And subscribe to the show. Don't miss a single episode. And if you'd like to support us even further, I encourage you to click the link in the liner notes to join our Patreon family, and we'll get you some behind-the-scenes exclusive content made solely and only for you. All right, are you ready for the captains? Yes, sir. Let's go on with the show. Oh, that music always makes me want to dance. I hope you're dancing because your dancing is going to be watched today, and it's going to be dissected by our incredible panel of Broadway dance captains that we have assembled here together. This is a power trio if there ever was one. I'll start over here and say hello to Beetlejuice dance captain, Brooke Engen. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Ben. So happy to be here.
Hi, Brooke. So, Brooke, you've gotten to torture me on the Dance Captain web series.
You were so good. You were so good. You should be in Beetlejuice.
Oh, did you hear that, everybody listening in the entire world? Great. I'll do whatever Abe Goldfarb did. That's what I'll do. Does that feel right?
Totally. 100%.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Let me get my next hip replacement from dancing all those years and I'll get to it. Brooke, how many Broadway shows have you been in?
I've been in 3 Broadway shows. I made my Broadway debut with Gypsy, starring Bernadette Peters. And then I went on to do Hairspray on Broadway and now Beetlejuice 1.0 and 2.0.
Yeah.
And, toured with Legally Blonde and did Rock of Ages in Vegas and a bunch of other fun things. But yeah, 3 times on Broadway.
And of course, the Hairspray movie.
Yes. And the Hairspray movie. Yep.
Yeah.
It was great. Lots
of Hairspray. That's a heck of a resume.
Thank you.
What a wild ride to be with Beetlejuice and ride this wave of coming back to Broadway and setting the whole thing again. We'll get into that, but it's just the most fascinating thing. Let's say hello to the Hamilton dance captain, Gabriella Sorrentino.
Yes.
Thanks for
me. I'm so happy you're here, when I was looking back at our messages, I looked that the last time we had spoken was after you had given us an impromptu, completely fierce off the charts Out Tonight from Rent at Broadway Sessions.
I did.
And you were hesitant to do it, and then you're like, "What? Okay, and we'll do it. We'll just tear the whole place down."
Yeah, you made me feel super comfortable. So I was like, let's just do it. Let's go for it.
Oh, that makes me feel good. I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to make you very uncomfortable.
Great.
I'm just kidding. And rounding us out, Maria Briggs, who is the dance captain at the Music Man. Yes, she knows Hugh Jackman. Maria, I have to ask, following your social media, just in the last day, you went on for a principal role that you do not technically cover in the show. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that
Tell me
happened.
about
Oh
that.
gosh, when was it? It was on a Saturday matinee, and 3 hours before the show, I found out I was going on for Pick a Little that I don't cover. And luckily, I've taught that track many times, so I at least knew it mentally, but it was like, all right, here we go. Jump on in.
Do you just go to a trust fall place and just hope that you land it, or do you go blank,
Yeah.
or you just know you have it?
No, it's definitely well, it was weird because it isn't as dance heavy as compared to other numbers in our show. So there was this weird balance of like, I think I'm good. And there was like, but am I've never done this. Like, it was a weird balance of like, okay, I know it, but I don't feel as the same stress as like when I've done a split track of five people in our show. So it was a weird energy that day, but it was
Right.
awesome.
With I should be doing more. I should be
Right.
running from this side of the stage to the other, not just looking right and left.
Exactly.
Let me
Lots of
ask you,
leaning
ladies.
forward and back.
Yeah. And okay. Yeah, I can do that too. Why is that sometimes harder than the fouetté turns?
Truly.
Do you guys know each other? Have your paths crossed in our business before? Is this a first meeting for anyone?
I mean, I think I know these two just mostly from auditions, but yeah, this is not the first time
Same.
meeting them.
Yeah.
Okay. Gabby, I see you nodding.
Yeah, I know these ladies from auditions, and we always kind of, that's how this business works. You're always seeing each other and passing each other in the halls at Pearl or Ripley and making quick conversation and being like, okay, bye, gotta go to the theater.
It's the weirdest kind of
Totally.
relationship, isn't it? To just
Yeah.
know people peripherally through the audition situation where you're like half in your brain and half wanting to get out of your brain and
Well, and also knowing that they're superstars as well. So you also hear like the wonderful work that they do as well.
That's so
Oh,
sweet.
I love that.
Yeah.
And also hoping that they fall down. Just kidding. So we like to test our guests on the Broadway cast with a little bit of a game, and today's game is the dance attack. So I am going to name for you. I'm going to start naming numbers from dance heavy Broadway shows. I'm going to name songs that appear in the show. As I'm listing, the first one of you fabulous dance captain ladies to jump in and name the show that these numbers are from gets the point. There are bonus points if you can sing a bit from the show. Okay. Now listen, don't be nice. This is about winning. These points are very valuable. All right, here we go. Blackbird.
Fosse. Fosse.
Nice. You all jumped in there. Maria, I think you were first. Very good. You guys are good. Next up, At the Ballet.
Course
Yes. Somewhere.
West Side Story.
West Side
West
Story.
Story.
Oh, you guys, you're so good. A lot of times our panels are, well, I don't know. I've been told by people who listen that they're shameful, but you guys are really on point. All right. Lullaby of Broadway.
42nd
40
Street.
Second Street.
Yes, Brooke Engen got in there fast. Carrying the Banner.
Newsies.
Newsies.
Yes. Memory.
Oh,
Oh,
cats.
yeah, that's a giveaway. That's a social. We all get that one. No one sung anything yet, by the way. Maria just took the lead. Big,
I
hard
will
lead
never
there.
get to do what Mamie Paris does and hold it in one entire breath.
Do you know, we spoke to Mamie Paris on the show a few years back. We did a Leading Ladies episode with her and Jen Gambetis and Betsy Wolff.
Oh,
And I went
brilliant.
on and on to Mamie Paris about the way she sang that song. song.
Yes,
The
it was
way she tore into that, the
stunning.
only way I could describe it that makes sense to me is that she tears into that song in the same way that I tear into a chicken fried steak. Like ferociously, mouth agape, slobbering like a feral animal.
Yes.
It's which is I, that sounds insane, but it's if maybe if you're listening, it's a compliment.
Yes.
Holding out for a hero.
Footloose. Oh.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I can cook too.
Oh, on the town.
Yes. Well
Yes.
done. Okay, one more. If my friends could see me now.
Sweet
Oh,
Charity.
pajama. Oh, Sweet Charity.
Nice. And this one's just for bonus points. And it's only one clue. Scenes from an Italian restaurant.
Contact.
The other one.
Moon
Moving
out.
out.
Moving out.
Moving out the Billy Joel. But I should have put Contact in there because that's an entirely dance musical. I think with the song, I think Maria won that, and we'll be sending her a prize package worth over $40 million dollars in the coming
Yes.
days.
Student loans.
So,
Bye.
oh, didn't they forgive those?
I
There's no
wish.
forgiveness.
It's still up in the air.
So no one gets to be a dance captain in shows like you guys are without first being a baby dancer of some kind of some sort. So where did well you were you 3 years old in a ballet class? Where did you first point your toes and throw your arms up over your head? We'll start with Brooke.
I'm a twin, as you know, Ben.
Yes.
But yeah, we were very busy, busy kids. So my parents put us in dance pretty early at age three. Yeah, so we just grew up dancing, ballet, tap, jazz, all that stuff. Grew up into like dance competition world. And then knew we both wanted to move to New York and try to pursue this.
Yeah, when do how old were you when you realized that you were going to go for it?
I feel like my first trip to New York was when we were 10,
Okay.
and we came to New York and we saw some shows and we took class at BDC and Steps, and I was like, this is amazing. I have to do this. And then from there, it like really blew up. Like I remember my grandmother always playing like videos of like Funny Girl and Music Man, and that's all we would watch all day long. No live television, just tapes of musicals. So we caught the bug pretty early, and like it stuck.
Oh, I love that you were exposed to those kind of classic musicals too
Totally. Oh, my
at
grandmother
that age.
loved that. Yes.
What about the you two? Were you I think Maria, we talked about this a little bit in the when we recorded the web series about
Yeah.
competition dance or not competition dance, and you were not necessarily in that world.
Right. So I started dancing when I was five, and my dance teacher was actually my mom's dance teacher, and they were neighbors growing up, so like super tight-knit family. And yeah, we competed, and then I didn't start like actual ballet training until high school. So it's never too late.
That is highly unusual, right?
Very unusual. Yeah, I mean, I did like ballet growing up, but it wasn't like real training.
Yeah.
So
There's
yeah, that did
a
start
very
till high
big
school.
difference of training and
It
taking dance class,
is,
for sure.
yes, 100%. And it started because Performing Arts High School opened up in St. Paul, and so that's where I kind of, well, my parents found it in the newspaper, and they were like, you want to give it a try, like if you want to do this as a profession, which I didn't even know you could do it as a profession. I was like, yeah, that sounds incredible, dancing 3 hours a day, yeah. Sign me up. So
Oh, if only it were that easy.
right. Yeah,
About you, Gabriella?
so I'm a New Yorker. I'm born and raised, so always being close to the city and being inspired by that ever since I was a kid. I was that kid that was walking around the living room at two, singing and dancing and moving and begging my parents to go to dance class. So I started, yeah, I was that 3-year-old that started very young at my dance studio. And just about the time that I was supposed to start high school, I knew that I wanted to go to performing arts high school. Fame was a film that we watched a lot in my house, so it was always got to go to performing arts high school. And so yeah, so that was always kind of like my journey. And I didn't go to a competition studio. It was specifically they wanted people just to train there and get all their training down and then, you know, move on if they wanted to pursue things. So that's what I did.
And I love that you brought up fame. Irene Cara just passed away the other day.
Very,
way too
very
young.
Sad.
63 years old, I think they said she was, which is far too young. Do you have memories of dancers that you saw growing up that you went, this is who I would like to emulate?
Gene Kelly, definitely. Vera Ellen.
You're so wonderful and wise. I'm going to be honest right now, and I hope that there are dancers listening to this. I think a lot of young dancers that maybe when you guys teach things outside of your shows or when I've taught classes don't necessarily have the catalog of knowledge of musical theater that maybe I think would be beneficial to them. And, you know, the fact that you say Gene Kelly and that we talk a little bit about how you watched Funny Girl and watched those films, I feel like that's a little bit lost on some of the newer dancers, if I can be that outspoken to say. I think that's really, yeah. I think that's really special.
Yeah, I was also going to say this.
Oh. No, go ahead.
No, even just like, I saw shows, like my parents would bring me into the city and we would see like one or two shows a year, but I specifically remember seeing Fosse and wanting to be any one of those ladies on that stage, especially like Rochelle, for example, Rochelle Rath. I just like, just sitting there like, that's what I want to do. And how do I do that? So that's just like one example of something that I always like remember. Yeah.
You mentioned Brooke going to BDC and training in New York City. And I feel like that's always such a eye-opening moment. Once you guys kind of discovered you wanted to do this for a living and said, I'm going to go all in on this, what sorts of professional training did you seek out for yourselves? And is it something that you continued doing as you begin to book work?
You know, it was kind of like we would run a parallel line. Like, so say for like dance competitions, and then you'd go to like a national dance competition, like New York City Dance Lines. So then you're in New York, you're already doing NYCDA. And then you're like, well, I'm also going to take steps and BDC classes. So you would be kind of like taking classes here, taking classes there, trying to see shows at night. But yeah, just trying to get as much training as you can in like a summer. And if we weren't doing a national, it'd be like, maybe we should audition for like Joffrey Ballet program for the summer. There was always something that had to be like the landmark of what we were going to do for that summer that involved dance. So I'm really obviously super grateful to my parents for encouraging us and supporting us to do that and finding outlets like that, let alone, you know, trying to find other ways of performing in your own hometown, whether it be like a Nutcracker is coming to your city and they're looking for kids, just a bunch of stuff like that. But I think like the training and how much you have to train, that was instilled in me pretty early on, that you've got to dance for several hours a day, take all different styles, especially if you want to be on Broadway, because there's so many different styles. Not only on Broadway, but also like, I remember, you know, watching like music videos growing up. And I was like, that also could be fun to do. Like being super inspired by Janet Jackson, you know, just wearing out, like watching MTV till my parents came home. And just, yeah, it was just always working, but it was like fun. It didn't feel like taxing in any way. It was just like the joy of like dancing and playing and pretending to be other people. And that, like, I think that still carries over in today. Maybe the training is a little bit different, but not losing that sense of play and that this is dance practice, essentially, even when you're like putting someone in the show, it's like, it's also a time for you to get to do stuff. But I'm
The fun
going
stuff
on a tangent,
that we,
but
yeah, that we like doing this at some, you know, it's
totally
before we started getting paid for it. It's something that we liked. How about you, Maria? What kind of professional training did you go through?
Yeah, well, so the performing arts high school I went to was kind of my first introduction into that. And then I actually transferred, well, I guess I should say, as I was graduating, I was deciding, do I stay in Minnesota and work with this contemporary ballet company, or do I move to New York and do this musical theater thing that I've never done? I went that route. I went to AMDA, and then after AMDA, I transferred to the new school and got my BFA over there as well.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Gabriella?
Yeah, my performing arts high school is here in New York City. It's called PPAS, and my program was connected to the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. So I would do my academics in the daytime, and then they would put us on a bus and send us over to Ailey. So I had 4 years from ages 14 to 18 where I got to train at Alvin Ailey, which was like the best training in the world. And then from there, I got my BFA in dance at Point Park University. And so did my college training there. And then, yeah, and then came back to New York.
The Alvin Ailey thing, well, that's nice work if you can get it for sure. Like, oh, okay, I'll do bump off a couple times tables and then head on over to Ailey.
Amazing. And I wound up loving it so much that I wound up doing 2 summers there as like a scholarship student too. So I learned so much from being there and obviously being like right in Midtown, like right in the heart of everything. So yeah.
One thing I wanted to touch on that Brooke started to go into, because the Broadway has become your lives in so very many ways. You are Broadway. What were some of your aspirations or gigs that you did that were not theater related as a dancer?
Lots. Survival jobs. Oh my gosh, so many like
Are we
survival jobs.
talking Shazam kind of jobs?
You kind of nailed it. I did work for that company. You got it.
Gotta do it. There's always a bar mitzvah coming down the pike.
Listen, there's a lot of dancing at parties. I did catering for a while, and I actually sang in a wedding band for 2 years. So that was another like
Oh,
job
cool.
that I did that I loved. So yeah.
How very Menzel of you to sing in the wedding band. What about you, Maria? Did you do like
I did
straight up?
some like administrative work over at AMDA for a bit. But I will say I was looking for a job. And my friend was like, "Oh, this restaurant is hiring for a hostess." And I was like, "Great, I can do that." So I go to this restaurant, and it's not a hosting job. It's actually to sit basically in their basement and say, like, "Yeah, it's the restaurant's open. This is closed, but we're still open." And
Oh.
at the end of that shift, it wasn't even a shift. It was training, I should say. It was training, and I was like, I called them later that night because I was like, this isn't for me. And I said, I'm so sorry. I just booked a gig and I won't be able to return. And they were like, oh, but we should pay. I was, don't even worry about it. Totally lied because I was like, it's not for me.
Just please get me out.
Please get me out.
Listen, I've done my fair share of work in basements as well,
Yeah.
so I feel that. Some of my best work, sadly. Okay, so let's, with that foundation laid for all of you, let's get to the business of captaining itself. Let's say that myself or our listeners have just walked off the alien ship and we don't know what this world is. What is a dance captain? What does a dance captain do? Everyone's eyes just got very wide, as if to say, how much time you got?
True. I mean,
Exactly.
I guess, go
yeah,
ahead,
sorry.
Maria.
Just like a short cap of it is maintaining the vision of the choreographer, in the show. That would be the simplest form of saying it.
That is very, very simple. Yes. Yeah. Maintaining the choreography as set by the choreographer. There's so much more of that. So you have this, you have to be omniscient, right? You have to know all things about the show in so many ways. Everybody's track and spacing, and you have to know the music incredibly well, and the actors incredibly well. And how do you each go about collecting, maintaining, organizing this mass of information?
Well, I just want to say too that I always think of a dance captain as not only an amazing teacher, because you have to be a really good teacher. You have to teach the material. You have to be a good learner, and you have to be a good observer. There's like it's like the three parts for me that I always think of as the dance captain. And I think for me, collecting material comes from repetition. I'm a creature of watching and kind of remembering it as a movie, kind of in my head, as weird as that sounds. And then based off of all of that information that I retain, I document that and I have it all on my computer in different kind of separate documents labeled out for each person in the show.
That you can just turn to and go click, click, click. Let's
yeah,
see what,
and I mean,
what
it's great
Bruce
to have
doing.
It as a guide. Exactly. It's great to have it as a guide. But again, because I'm such a learner of by what I see, and that's kind of how I retain more, I actually watch the show probably more so than I even look at the notes. But obviously, they're good to have them there as always that backtrack, that study guide of where you have to go to.
For you two, is it mostly here in the brain?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can sit in your, I'm sure you all can, like, we'll sit in our dressing rooms not watching, but you're just hearing it and you literally can see everything mm-hmm. that's happening. I just know everything that's going on in that moment. Yeah, I watch the show a bunch too. That's primarily how I just continue to obviously dance captain, give notes, all that jazz. But even for myself as a performer, watch it live, watch it on the screen. And then also you have like archival videos that you're also watching and sussing out and checking. If anything feels different, you're cross-referencing a bunch of other things. But yeah, I have like my staging charts, like we all do, our big, you know, the Holy Grail, the show Bible. But then I have my own notes too for when I'm going on, and also just specifics for individual people of when they were going in and things that we worked on. Yeah, so there's like, there's a lot of paperwork, but I don't think anybody tells you there's that much paperwork involved in dance captaining, but there is a lot.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to have a paper trail for all the things that you know up here
mm-hmm.
to have that hard copy of it. You're talking about seeing all of it moving, and my heart rate is increasing because that's so stressful. And you're all like kind of talking about it with smiles on your faces. It's just so Herculean. This wasn't even on my list of questions, and I don't know why. Is this a first time or multiple time dance captaining a show for you guys?
For me, multiple
for you, Brooke?
Yeah, me as well. This is I did two dance captaining gigs at regional theaters, and then this is my first dance captain on Broadway.
Okay.
Yeah, this is officially my first one on Broadway, I should say.
I feel there's a story behind that officially. What is it, I wonder?
Well, at CADS, we were getting close to the end of wrapping up. And they asked if I wanted to be assistant dance captain. And I said, absolutely not. We've been co-dance captain the whole time. I'm not going to do assistant, which to me, as like, I have personal feelings about that too. I think moving forward, we need to figure out what an assistant dance captain actually does, because it's not really super clear. So for that show in particular, I said, nope. And they continued to move on. We just had one dance captain, and we did have a resident on that show as well, but there was a weekend, the resident was out, the dance captain was out, and I came up with a split track of Rumpelteazer and Victoria. and that was the thing, the PSM had come to me and was like, hey, what is it? And then I had to, you know, rearrange some things for other members and such. So unofficially did that.
I'm very interested by bringing up this assistant dance captain thing. I have served as an assistant dance captain on Footloose many, many years ago, which was an interesting situation because I was actually teaching the dance captain who was coming in all of the stuff. But I am interested because I feel like with what I do with the web series, more and more co-dance captains are existing.
Which is what we have at our show. We have a co-position at Music Man, myself and Ryan Warsing.
Okay. And are there benefits, do you think? Do you think a co-dance captain is maybe this depends on the size of the show and the amount of dancing in the show, right?
Yeah. And I think for Music Man, it was really awesome. And Ryan and I work so well together as well. So I think that was super helpful. And CATS, I think, was also really helpful because there's so much within that show. Everybody is doing their own show. And I even said, like, when I was at CATS, I was like, I don't know the male tracks. So that's the other reason why I can't take on the position by myself. But I do know my male counterpart, Swing, he does know it. And so that's why I was like, it should be co-dance captain, like it was at the beginning. But then... Mm-hmm. Since they were closing, they were trying to save money and turn it into an assistant position. And yeah,
What? A Broadway producer trying to cut corners? I'm not falling
Save
for
money.
it, Maria. Not falling for it. What's the situation? I know this is kind of a tangent I've gone on now, but Brooke, what's the situation at Beetlejuice?
So I am the head dance captain, and we do have an assistant dance captain. And yeah, it is one of those situations where it is really hard to kind of like decipher who does what. Obviously there's a difference in pay. So I do take on the brunt work of putting most people through their rehearsal process.
Right.
Because yeah, in a perfect world, it'd be lovely if I like just taught the women and he taught the men, like that would be great. But also when it comes to Beetlejuice, there's so much gender neutrality in our choreography, but there also is lots of partnering and stuff like that, that is kind of dependent upon who it was set on. Right. But, it's with Beetlejuice, it does work because like in terms of how, with it being our second installation, the first installation, it was just me, no assistant whatsoever, just me. So then in the next installation, I now have assistant dance captain with me, who's wonderful. But we've, in this era of COVID, it's also been like full alarm, everybody in the pool, everybody's doing everything. So it's been a really hard time to kind of like decipher who's going to do what. It's just kind of like go gadget, and we got to get people in and whoever is available to do it, because they're not on stage during the matinee, is going to work with the new person coming in, stuff like that. But I will say, when I went into Hairspray, I was an assistant dance captain, and I was at all the same rehearsals as the current dance captain, who was Robbie Roby at the time. And he's the one that like really advocated for me, because I would have never asked for that. But he was like, she has to be a co-captain. We're at the exact same rehearsals all day long. We are putting just the same amount of men and women into the show. Like, we're a team. We do this together. And they were like, okay, you're right. So
yeah.
And that's how we became co-captains. But it does take them kind of seeing, look, these people are doing the exact same job, you know? Especially in the final 2 years of Hairspray, where there was a lot of turnover, you know, constantly. More time. Yeah. No one also ever tells you that you'll spend more time at Ripley Greer when working.
Ripley, that's another place that like I walk in and I just smell the desperation. And it's like a trauma response that I have from like the early 2000s.
Oh my gosh.
What's the situation that in Hamilton, Gabrielle, you have
Yeah, I have a co-dance captain. It's David Guzman. And we've been doing the show together now for the last 4 years. And I also did the production, the original Chicago company in Hamilton as well. So I did that for 2 years. So, but it's been great to have Guz. And we also have an associate too, who's with us. So it's nice kind of that the responsibilities are kind of evenly distributed. And it's always nice to have someone to like turn to when you need to be like, when you need to check in on something and, hey, what number is this? And what did you give to this person in that rehearsal? And so kind of, we all kind of stay connected as a unit and as a team, which I really love. I love that. That's kind of how we operate.
I love that. Yeah. It's a big cast too with Hamilton.
There's so many moving parts. So it's like, It's hard to essentially have one person doing all the things. It almost kind of seems impossible. So that's why it's nice to have a co-dance captain, so that we can bounce off of each other and do it together.
I think this is kind of coming up organically, that I think is so interesting, that I think a lot of people don't know about the nitty gritty of the work that you guys do on the regular, that is so superhuman, which is creating different variations of the same show based on, and of course it's amplified in the COVID era and Omicron, different variations of the show based on who's available and making these miracles happen. Just tell us a little bit about what that is for people who don't really know that that happens even.
It's basically just when you're down too many people in your show, you're coming up with a cut show or split tracking, where wherever you can merge or do away with some track and somebody else picks up the slack of the essential parts of a track, i.e. moving a set piece, lifting a person, you keep that, but they're ultimately in another track. It's just creating a new play, essentially a new gameplay to make sure that the show goes on efficiently, as safely as possible, you know. But it takes, it's not only, you know, the dance captains that are doing this, but your production stage managers, dressers, wigs, like mm-hmm. everybody is trying to make sense of a show that did not exist 24 hours ago. So that's actually, to me, that's actually like the, I enjoy being on when it's like a split track. I enjoy getting to do a multiple track day and being like, okay, because you, as dance captains, you know where all the moving pieces are. So you're like, well, I trust myself to do this. I know I can handle this. So put me in, coach. But it's the day, you know, the hours leading up to the show of all the other things that have to take place to make sure that this show can happen is like the other, you know, hours that go into dance captaining and making mm-hmm. it happen.
Has that gotten easier as you've had this luxury of having a lot of practice making up new shows in more recent times? Are you able to go back, okay, we did this last time, it seemed to have worked out well, or is each time a new fresh panic?
I think there are part or elements that you're like, okay, we did this before, so we can pull from that. But at our show, it's like, you never know who's going to be out. I mean, obviously with any show, you never know who's going to be there, but it's been, cause we have 41 people on stage every night. And so it's a big number to pick from. And the hardest part too with ours is age, because we have like children, we have like the young adults, we have the adults, and then our older company members. And it also gets tricky too, because if someone is on for a principal, they can't do anything else but that principal track. So sometimes if a swing goes into a principal, then we lose that help off stage.
Oh,
but
wow.
We have no one else to fill in for it. So that can get tricky as well, which I've then have had to help compensate by jumping in for some of our more male identifying characters, just because it is a male, oh, I shouldn't say male dominant, but we have male principals that need coverage.
Lots of guy stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Slap on a mustache and here we go.
Well, I will say the nice part about our show is that it is pretty gender fluid, which is awesome. There are certain parts that they have decided like, no, we would like to keep this more male identifying. Like for example, when the Wells Fargo wagon comes on, they prefer to have a male driver in that moment. So there are like selected moments, but I would say a majority of our show though, it's pretty gender fluid, especially with like 76 trombones, really anybody can jump into anything.
Yeah, for sure. Go ahead, Gabriella.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's like just one situation that came to mind that I was thinking of. I don't know, it had to be like maybe 2 months ago, but there were 12 of us that were on swings, covers, standbys. Both the dance captains were on, and it was just so incredible because it was more than half of the cast that was on, consisting of us. And just, man, it is such, it's just not talked about enough of how amazing swings, covers, standbys, dance captains are, because everyone just rallies. Like, you know, like it gets done. Like whatever needs to get done, it does. It happens. And sometimes they're the most special shows because everyone's so connected and you're like, we know what we have to do. So sometimes it's even better.
You have to be really present when you've got different people coming in doing different things, and everyone has a really intense goal to achieve, which may or may not just be survival of the show.
Totally.
That's and the audience is never the wiser for that, which I just think is so beautiful and speaks to the incredible talent level once again of dance captains, swings, understudies. It's remarkable. What are the traits needed, or do you feel that you possess, that make you an effective dance captain?
For me, the first one that comes to mind is people skills. A big part of the job, I shouldn't say most of it, but a big part of the job is communicating with your colleagues, especially when it comes to notes and obviously the maintenance of the show. Being able to communicate with them and build that trust between you and them is really, really important. So it always kind of keeps that open line of communication. And just so it's an easy flow. So that's like the first thing that I could think of that comes to mind.
Yeah, diplomacy. Because I would imagine just forcing my own experience into the conversation, sometimes people aren't necessarily as ready to take the note as maybe they should be.
Yeah, it's kind of like knowing how to talk with that person and kind of what works best for them as well, kind of keeping that in mind. You know, are they somebody that really wants to dive in and like get on the stage and work through things? Or are they somebody that can just, you know, get the email or be told right in person what they need to do? So it's kind of learning those people skills.
And that's a whole other book. That's a whole other book of personalities.
Yeah.
Maria and Brooke, what do you think?
I was going to say patience is a huge factor with it. And kind of going off of this too, where I was going to say with teaching, everyone learns differently. And so you have to be able to adapt to how somebody learns, which is kind of the same thing where you have to adapt to how people take their notes. And so I think really being like patient and adaptable is such a huge important part.
Yeah.
I have a million things coming to mind, but I guess like top of mind is just truly dance captains to me are like the ultimate team player. So it's like you have to like anything I personally feel has to be like set to the side. It's all for the benefit of the team, the show, however you want to, you know, frame it, that all your notes are coming from a place of service. All your teaching is coming from a place of service. You know, it's just, it becomes it is a full-time job because it's not only what you're doing with new people that are in the show while you're at the show, it's also post-show thinking about and anticipating the needs of others for the next day or something that happened for them in the show. So to me, that feels like if you can be like the ultimate team player, like you've got a dance captain quality in you.
Wow. Yeah. That's kind of the Tao of dance captain right there. That's kind of the zen out mantra side of it. Talk to us about brush up rehearsals, clean up rehearsals. In your experience, how, I don't think audiences have any idea of the maintenance. They think, like Marie said earlier, like I'll go dance three hours a night. That's what this job will be in its entirety, but fun. I don't think audiences know or appreciate the work that goes on in the afternoons, maybe this. So what's kind of how frequently do you engage in dance cleanup rehearsals? Do you give notes on the daily? How often do you get people on stage? That sort of thing. Gabrielle.
So for us, again, with us being like a three-person team, we've kind of formulated like our weekly plan. So we tend to give out notes once a week, but we check in throughout the week. We watch a few shows. We watch like 2 to 3 shows per week. With rehearsals, we have like once a month, we've set a date where the whole company can come together to get their notes between team dance, team music, and team directing, which is really great. And then also we have our swing rehearsals and putting new people into the show rehearsals. So there's also that, which is a way to get all of our swings and covers and standbys up to date with any new information that we've put into the show, give them a chance to run the show a bunch of times. And I think in particular, the full company rehearsals are great because if you're just coming to work and doing the show, there's not as much of that moment to all be together and all hear the information and kind of like work out everything together. And also just a moment to check in and be like, hey, how are you doing this week? Okay, are we good? All right, let's all go. And that tends to be what works, I think, with our show in particular.
So it sounds like a lot of time. I mean, I know for you guys too, with put-ins and that sort of thing as well. What about for you two ladies?
Go ahead.
Okay.
So defer to Maria.
Yes.
Yeah, we had rehearsal. We have it basically every week. Now that we're wrapping up, I'm hoping it won't be as much. But yeah, we had it just about every week. And most of that was putting in new players or teaching new understudies or covers. And in that rehearsal, well, we would even have to come in on Tuesdays, which is with our schedule, that would technically be overtime. So we did get that, but sometimes it's like, I'd rather have the sleep. Because Thursdays and Fridays, it would be another 4 hours at least of rehearsal on top of the show schedule. So we've had a lot of that. And we actually only had like 2 cleanup rehearsals total with our associate.
Right.
We have, sometimes we'll have Tuesday rehearsals because it's absolutely necessary. If somebody's going in, we'll come in early to do a spacing, lift call, all that jazz. But typically, we're with a Monday's dark situation. We have understudy run on Thursdays and Fridays because most people are a double cover. So we will run the show one day with somebody in their cover. And then the next day, it's the same group of us that are showing up both days, but we're switching into the other roles so that we've run our shows each week. We were actually supposed to have a dance brush up in July, and then COVID hit pretty hard for our company. So that was squashed. And then now as we're kind of closing down, I mean, we really do. I feel very lucky that like the show is, it's in good shape, and it's a perfect kind of little pool of, we get to be our authentic selves, but as long as we're in the collective. So we don't have like, you know, there's not many things choreographically that we're doing all at once at the same time where it's like, we need to brush this up. This needs to be identical. Beetlejuice is so much a character-driven show that it like allows for a little bit more like wider parameters when it comes to choreography. But the one thing that is different with Beetlejuice is that every couple of months we do get together and do, I call it magical moments. That's not what it's called, but it's a day of magical moments because there's, you know, people have to jump through the floors. They have to come up from the traps. People levitate. People light things on fire. People deal with giant puppets. And that stuff has to be practiced and routined. You can't not touch that for 3 months and then go on. It's terrifying. So we do our best to have at least special days like that where everybody gets to do all of the special effects that they would do in the show. I've never had that experience before in a show that also has to be counted for. But yeah, that's kind of where we're landing in the rehearsal department. And then of course, if you're putting someone in, that adds on top of the others.
It's fun that you talk about the individuality and character drivenness of the show, because I remember last time I saw the show, and I think I've seen it 3 times now because I'm a big nerd, but there's one character in all of Beautiful Sound, which is really a super dance heavy number. It's not stepping and touching. And right. There's one of the Beetlejuice that's doing the entire thing with no arms.
Yes. Yeah. One of the clones does the entire number with fake arms in the beginning that get ripped off, and then continues the rest of the number literally like tied behind, dancing, doing double pirouettes on a rake, jumping on a table. It's wild. It's wildly impressive to find someone that has that kind of core. And I mean, talk about doing leg day every day in that show. I mean, that's all you've got is just to like power through with your legs and that. Yeah, it's pretty nuts. But yeah, our Beetlejuice and Lydia are doing that number too, which I also find so inspiring. These are principals who are leading our show and they are dancing.
What have been your experiences working with principal actors, maybe coming into a show or just working with people who are not as versed in the world of dance as many of your ensemble members, or they're a star coming in who has danced before and they're insecure about it? Nobody really gets away, I think, in any of these shows without moving a lot. What have your experiences been in handling that with finesse and being as effective as you can with somebody who's a little fish out of water?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was referring to when you have to be able to adapt to how people learn. There was a step in Shapoopy at the very end, the final chorus, and some of the members were just like, I don't know what this is. I can't figure it out. And so then it was like, okay, here it is. Area code 312, 312. You have 3 taps, 1 tap, 2 tap. And then it just finding little random things like that. Then they were like, oh, got it. Great.
Gabrielle, I think about Hamilton, and it's so, what I think people forget just that it's based, that it's also as much of a musical as a full-on dance concert, because it is danced throughout And it and that movement, from my viewer perspective, is so intricate and small and quick and defined and smooth but aggressive. I don't know, I could go on all day. It's fabulous. It's inspired. When it comes to cleaning that, where it is, there's a lot of precision in there. How challenging is that, and how often do you have to be on top of that? I know you said you do notes once a week.
Yeah, I think it's like the check-ins. I guess, for example, like let's say somebody new is coming in and learning it and however many weeks they have it, it is, again, that repetition of doing it and doing it and doing it until it kind of feels like natural to do it, even though there's so much material. And of course, we also have the moving turntable. So that's a factor in it as well, as like getting on and off, like doing the choreography and then jumping off or jumping on the turntable. So giving new members like a chance to do that and feel comfortable with that as well. And yeah, so much of the movement is also so intention-based. So if we tend to find that someone is maybe having more of a harder time with the dance terminology of it, it's kind of putting it into that intention-based language. And that tends to pull out a lot of kind of what you need from that performer. It gives them a little bit of a different level playing field of where they can pull some of that, I guess, knowledge from.
Oh, that's so smart. Always go back to this. Always go back to the story. Well, that's what, I mean, obviously makes great choreography. Whether audiences understand that or not, it's where the storytelling lies in that. What would you say is the most challenging aspect of your work in this particular title? What's hardest?
I think the
Everyone's
amount of
eyes went up and to the right.
The amount of hours that go into it. Because even the
how many hours a week are we talking? This is over a 40-hour week.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you're called into rehearsal, but then it's work outside of rehearsal that you have to do, especially in rehearsal where it's, or tech, when you're building the actual charts and everything. It doesn't happen just when you're called. That's homework that you have to do outside of it as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I second that. It's the unbillable hours.
Yeah.
It's the moment you wake up and you get the call that so-and-so's out, so-and-so and so-and-so are all out. Like, it might be 10 in the morning and the show's not till 8 o'clock at night, but you're thinking about the show at 10 in the morning already, prepping for getting there.
Which then you prepped and then three other people call out at that point.
Exactly. yes.
It's wild to me. What's been your biggest whoops moment where are you swings in the show as well as captaining? Yeah. Which makes the most sense, clearly. What's been in maybe a Frankenstein cut show monster of your own making, what's been a particularly fun in hindsight oops moment?
I know I've fallen on stage before. I remember once my skirt, we have the big ball skirts, and I remember I had to like hold out the paper and then kind of like rip it away with like so much intention and energy, and my skirt got caught, and I was literally behind Angelica in the quietest moment of her number, just like falling over on my back with the skirt tumbling over my head, like, trying to scramble quietly and get up and go. And I remember I had a friend that came to the show and they were like, I didn't see it at all. I was like, are you serious? I was on the floor in like a slow roll. So little things like that are funny to me because they bring you back into focus of like, yeah, live theater.
Well, and of course, in your mind, that whole thing went on for 45 minutes. Right. You were up and down in 2 seconds, but in your mind, it was 45 minutes to an
exactly,
hour.
Exactly.
Of rolling around. How about you, Maria?
I don't know if it was like a whoops, but there was a moment, we were down again, so many people. And in Wells Fargo, there are like these solo lines that happen about things that they're wanting from the Wells Fargo or that they've received before. And
a gray Mackinac.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think I did at least like 4 solos in that number because we just didn't have the people to do it. And the funniest of that though is I got to sing Montgomery Ward Sent Me a Bathtub and a Crosscut Saw.
Oh.
But of course, like up the octave, and everybody's like, just this soprano singing how she wants a crosscut saw. Kind of got everybody on that. And they kept joking that it was
only
like,
4 rich people in town who can afford the Wells Fargo treats.
And they were just all like, you did your Amazon shopping, didn't you? I want this, 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 and this.
Oh, wait, you have to answer for this, this for me. I'm sorry. This is going way off topic, but I think I just said it, and I think I might have a bet going with my producer, Danny, about this. Is it double broiler or double boiler?
Double boiler.
It's a double boiler. Damn.
Double boiler.
All this time, I've been saying double boiler. Danny wins. There he is. He's appearing on the screen. Was it you that we had this out about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. But Benny, here's the thing. I mean, Music Man was the show that got me into musical theater. So, like, I'm into it. I'm obsessed. I will say, you guys are crushing it at the Winter Garden. I had a blast.
Oh, thank you. Aww. Thanks for coming.
Of course.
Double boiler. Fine. Brooke.
Do you know what a double boiler is?
Not a clue.
So
what is it?
Basically, what you can do nowadays to create one, if you have a pot and you have like water underneath it boiling, you could put a glass bowl on top, and then like say you want to melt chocolate or something, because if you put the chocolate in on it, it could burn easily. So this it like helps temper it.
This is some serious dramaturgy right here. This is getting way deep into the essence of the lyric. I had no idea.
Yeah.
The good news is I will probably not anytime soon try to make anything with chocolate from scratch.
There you go.
But not so long as DoorDash is on my phone.
Right.
Brooke, what about you?
Oh, just all the regular stuff of tripping and falling all over the place. I've had my share. Yeah, in our show, there's so many obstacles. There's like a trampoline inside the sofa. You can trip or double bounce so easily and go flying unintentionally. We're on a rake. Yeah, I think like most of the stuff happens again when you're doing something that's technically a little outside of the box of your tracking, like when I'm on for some characters that I don't normally cover and I'm wearing their costumes and it just looks wild. But everybody gets like a big laugh out of it. So again, you're just there raising spirits, making the show go on. Yeah, it's just all those things, especially when it comes to the Netherworld. In the Netherworld, there's like so many fun different characters, and whenever somebody is different in that, you're always like, who's that?
Yeah. Nuts. Who's that with the football player without a head or a yeah. I love that so much. You know, now we've kind of covered the 9 million the myriad of things that are on your checklist of things that you must do as a dance captain, often behind, you know, kind of off stage and behind the scenes. What are some ways that we can support dance captains and make sure that they are A, compensated and treated well? Maria, I know that you are doing a lot of work with equity and equity negotiations that are coming up right now. Tell us a little bit about how that affects dance captains.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. So currently the production contract is under negotiation. So that's covering like Broadway shows at the moment. And if you would love to show your support and help us make some changes, because we are aiming for safety in the workplace, appropriate compensation, appropriate coverage, you can go to actorsequity.org. And then there is a banner on the top of the page and you can click on it and it says, "It's about time." And then there is one little link that says Solidarity Pledge. So this is for anybody. This is for members of different unions or audience members. Anyone who really wants to support Broadway, please feel free to sign that pledge. If you are an Actors Equity member, make sure you check your emails because there's a different pledge for you to sign as well.
I love that. And I, once again, all the support and all of the safety and coverage and padding and help that you guys can be given is vital.
Yeah,
vital,
you.
Vital, vital. That's fantastic. Yeah. So do it, people, do it. Couple just last questions for you guys. What do cast members, do you think people within your company not know about being a dance captain? And what do people in general not know about your job? Or what it takes to be a dance captain, or how you feel about it.
Maybe
or is it
goes
all
back
out on the.
Yeah, I think maybe it goes back to what Marie was saying earlier of like, and Brooke, all the extra hours that go into it. Like the work is really truly never done. And I think when there's certain things that arise in the show of like, oh, this kind of feels a little off, or this kind of feels a little off, is like that work is being done behind the scenes with the team to get the answer and to get the fix that needs to happen. And I think for people that come to the show, yeah, it's those hours of during the day. I think most people assume that you come to the theater at 7 o'clock, do the show, and everything's perfect, and then you go home. And there's when I speak to people, they're more surprised that they say, you rehearse in the afternoon from 1 to 5 and then have a short dinner break and then go to the show. And it's like, yep. That's what you do. And then
twice, you know, on Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Exactly. And then teaching sometimes at night during the show in a private studio, getting someone new ready for the show. So it's never ending.
What then is your, what's your favorite part of the job? What's the payoff? What keeps you from saying I'm out of here?
I like teaching someone their first steps for their Broadway debut. That to me is like, it's amazing. The whole process of it is just like, oh my gosh, this is it. Cause I remember when that was me, and it's like, you'll never forget like the first steps you take for Broadway.
Oh, that is so beautifully put.
I agree. Don't go, Maria. Go ahead.
I think going on with that too, cause like we have so many kids in our show, and so many of them have swung or are now swinging or have swung, and there, it just feels like proud mom or in the back where I've been in the studio with these kids, and one of them like debuted earlier than he was supposed to. And of course I was backstage and was just like, okay, it'll be fine. But I'm not showing that at all. Of course, it's like, yeah, you're going to be great. It'll be fun. We like went through each number before he had to go get shoved on, and was so brilliant. And I think that's what's so awesome is just to see people like rise to the occasion, knock it out of the park. Like, that is such an awesome experience.
Yeah, I love that. And I was thinking, when people get out there and do it for the first time and they make it through alive, you're the first person getting picked up and hugged.
Yeah.
After that, right? You made them out of Eye of Newt.
Yeah.
Gabrielle, you're about to say something.
No, I was going to say the same thing. Whenever I teach people, I'm like, I say, I'm proud Mama Gabby. Like, yeah. I'm always cheering in the wings and they come off.
Yes.
And that is such a special part of the job. And then another thing that just came to mind is that because we're also swings and we jump into the show whenever we're needed, that there's a moment in Yorktown where at the end, everyone kind of stands on a prop and faces a diagonal and looks out into the house and into the light. And I always get to see the show from a different perspective, yes, as a different person. And I always think of that moment as like, not only I'm in the show and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing intention wise, but like, I'm here, like I got here,
mm-hmm,
you know. Ooh. And I'm such a major representative of the show as a dance captain swing. And so those moments are very special.
That's a really good point, mm-hmm, that you get to see the show from all these different angles.
Yeah.
You get to see the show too. Like most of the ensemble has never seen the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have no idea, which is why when they don't take the note, you're like, you're not looking at it, kiddo. You guys can't say that, but I can say it. Take the note, people. Take the note. They're in charge for a reason. What floats your boat when you're not captaining? What helps you kind of cut back to normal human life with this really all-consuming job you have?
Therapy?
Right. Absolutely. The therapy that we're having right now.
Right now, no.
Yes, this moment is it. We're healing.
Great.
I've kind ahead, of Gabby. Fallen in love with, two things, I guess. I've fallen in love with Pilates, and I love that I've set aside like 2 afternoons a week for myself to go and kind of like clear my head and move in a different way on the reformer. So I've really fallen in love with that. And then also cooking, which, if you know me, I hated cooking pre-pandemic, but because we had so much time on our hands, I kind of just like fell in love with it. And it kind of was a way to just, again, clear my head, put on a podcast, chop all the vegetables, make soup, and like just get into it. So I'm a new chef.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Love it.
Well, there's this thing you should really try. It's called a double boiler. And if you want to make chocolate at home, it will help.
I don't do baking.
I think it's used for like cheeses too or something, right?
Oh, well, that's all the food groups, chocolate and cheese. As far as I'm concerned.
Amazing.
What about you, Brooke? What's your humanizing?
I mean, practice? I guess right now, definitely trying to be out in nature as much as possible. Get outside, especially when you've been in a theater all day.
Yes.
Get outside. And watching good TV, like just something like that, just to tune out and tune into something completely different helps me feel a little bit more balanced, you know?
Well, so. Ladies, I am truly in awe of what you do. I see the shows. I see the work that you put in on stage. I hope that everyone who's listening will have a different perspective the next time they come to see one of these shows, which shows everyone's seeing, or any show, and have that bug in the back of their brain that says, oh yeah, there was all of these other elements at play to make this 3 hours for me happen. And there's a captain in there who needs a nice note backstage or a new car. If you can support us on Patreon or buy a Dance Captain a car, that's our new thing Tuesday. So hop to it. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for sitting with me and talking, and I hope you enjoyed yourselves, and I have enjoyed having you here with us in this space, and I bow down to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, this was so fun.
See you later.
Bye.
Thank you guys truly so much. That was fantastic. I want to say a huge thank you and give mad respect to our incredible dance captain ladies. Thank you, Maria Briggs, Gabriella Sorrentino, and Brooke Engen. Truly amazing, and some of the coolest shows you've ever seen. Next time you go to a Broadway show, I want you to think about all the work that captain has put into it. All right, my friends, until next time, I want to remind you to subscribe to the show, rate us, review us, share us with your friends, follow us on social media at The Broadway Cast, easy breezy, follow me at Ben Does Broadway, and if you would like to support us further, do so as a Patreon member, click the link in the liner notes, and we will be sure to make exclusive content just for you, only for our Patreon family. Until next time, my Broadway lovelies, I'm your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, saying, have a great show!